Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning, Thursday morning, and now it's time for the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And like always, we bring you that day-to-day, Monday through Friday, hard-hitting 15 minutes of Philadelphia Eagles content. And today what we're going to talk about is the Falcons defense. We're going to look at some of the guys on the defensive front and the secondary, etc. And I tell you what, this is a team that is very solid. You know, their defense is very underrated because of the high flying offense. A lot of people don't pay attention to what they bring, but I tell you, these are guys that definitely are legit players. They're full of legit players, all the way from Dwight Freeney to Vic Beasley. You have both ends of the spectrum. You have veterans, rookies, second year players. I think this is a solid team. So just starting right from the top, looking at the defensive ends, Brooks Reed and Tyson Jackson. These are two guys that, I mean, Brooks Reed, I remember him coming out of Arizona he came from. And I tell you what, the thing that really stood out to me about him was his first step. And he actually had, I believe it was one of the fastest 10-second splits in his 40 when he was coming out, you know, at the combine or whatnot. And that shows you explosion. That's what you want to see out of a guy that's going to be a pass rusher. So he's coming off the edge there for him. And then you also got Tyson Jackson. Tyson Jackson is more of a power guy. You know, he's a power bull rusher. And then just looking on the inside, you got Jonathan Babineau and Grady Jarrett. These are two guys I think are very solid as well. When you look at Grady Jarrett, he's out of Clemson. And I remember watching him because I really liked Stephen Anthony, one of the linebackers. I believe he's in New Orleans. But I remember watching tape, you know, at Clemson's defense, and he just continued to pop out. And he's an outstanding interior lineman. He's quick. You know, he's someone that could get that quick pass rush that you want. Statistically, he has 3 sacks on the year. So, you know, that's not bad from the inside, you know, as an interior defensive lineman. So that's something to look at. Now, this is where it gets interesting, that linebacking core. I think that linebacking core is something to really watch out for. Really, the guy that stands out to me, obviously, is Vic Beasley. And Beasley, I remember him coming out of Clemson. And at the combine, I talked to him. I had a side conversation with him. And I know that he was working on his pass rushing skills. And we just talked about incorporating kung fu, you know, hand-to-hand combat into his repertoire. You know, he's 6'3", 246. And coming out, he was in the 220s. So he gained the 20 pounds. And I just asked him, how did you gain that weight? He was like 225, 235, somewhere in that range. And I asked him, you know, how did you gain that weight and still maintain your quickness? And he just said he ate healthy and he went through various drills, speed, quickness, agility drills. And I believe it was Chuck Smith that he worked with, the former Falcons defensive end who now has his own defensive end school, pass rushing school. But Beasley has been outstanding this season. He has 7.5 sacks. So, you know, his pass rushing skills really transferred. He's a guy, you know, they use at the outside linebacker position, you know, and that's something that really allows them to do a lot as far as, you know, rushing the passer. So he's an outstanding player. He's probably their best defensive player, at least in their front seven, if you ask me. But, you know, that's purely opinion because a lot of people like Deion Jones, too, the rookie out of LSU. And he's someone, I remember watching him at Senior Bowl. You talk about speed and just finding the football, the ability to cover. You know, that's 100% there when you look at him. So he's someone else to watch out for. It's going to be interesting to see if they'll be able to get him in matchups. You know, they run a lot of zone, but there are times where you will see them get into some man situations. And I would like to see if they have him come down and cover Darren Sproles. When you look at the ability that he has, you know, that would be an interesting matchup. Because I remember watching them at the combine, or not the combine, at the Senior Bowl. I remember watching him cover some of the guys such as Tyler Irvin and a lot of the quicker, you know, fast twitch guys. So I'll be looking out for that when I see them go up against each other. Another guy to look at is Devondre Campbell. Now, let me tell you something, man. When you see this guy, I remember him at East West Shrine. He's out of Minnesota, and I remember the East-West Shrine practices. Seeing this, I was like, man, if God wanted to put together a pass rusher, a guy that's perfectly suited for outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, man, this would be what they would put together. When you look at him, just his height and weight, I believe he's 6'4", 230, somewhere in that range. We'll have to check the book here to see exactly where he falls. But Campbell, man, when you look at him, he definitely passes the eyeball test. That's without a doubt. Just trying to find his where he – yeah, 6'3", 234. He's from Fort Myers, Florida. But he's a very athletic guy. He just – there were times where he didn't pop out. I remember watching on Minnesota. He seemed to get lost in the mix. But – either way, I mean, he's found his way to a starting spot for this Falcons defense. And, you know, that front seven is really good. He has pass rushing ability, but you could also drop him back in coverage. He'll find his way there. So when you have players like that, you know, Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, guys that could cover a lot of ground, you know, you could go man, you could go zone. These guys are athletes, so getting them to drop into their zones is not an issue. They could cover ground, so that's going to be something to watch. I think Deion Jones, Campbell, I think these guys are going to be key factors in their zone defense. You know, you got guys like Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz working the middle of the field, Trey Burton as well. So you want to see how they're going to be able to match up with them as far as picking them up in the zone. Campbell, you know, and Jones, these guys, you know, like I said, they cover a lot of ground. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And then just looking at Paul Warlow, he's a Delaware product, and he's someone that will still be in the mix as well. So that front seven is definitely, you know, something to take an honest look at. You know, you got Courtney Upshaw backing up Grady Jarrett. And that's interesting that he's playing a defensive tackle because he's an outside linebacker with the Bills, or excuse me, with the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens last year. And Upshaw is a solid player, so I want to see how they mix him in. That's something that I'll be watching for. And Dwight Freeney may or may not be able to go, but he's someone that has really helped these guys as far as learning how to rush the passer. I know bringing him aboard was an excellent thing for Vic Beasley. So that's the front seven. Now we get back and we look at the secondary. And when I look at the secondary, there are a few players that stand out. First and foremost, you got to look at Desmond Trufant. You know, and when you look at Trufant, and this is a guy that Jordan Matthews talked about yesterday, and he had high praise for him. You know, he said that he was surprised that he doesn't get the recognition that he deserves. Because, you know, it's probably because he doesn't talk much, you know. But when you watch him as a corner, he has the physicality. He has the ability to pattern match. He will, you know, run with receivers down the field. He's a very good corner, 6 feet, 190 out of Washington, the fourth-year player. And I remember just watching him just gradually come along. He's someone that I was very high on when he was coming out of Washington. And he's definitely proven why he was a first-round pick. And he's their best defensive back. He is day-to-day, so we'll see what happens there. I know Dan Quinn yesterday, he said that, you know, he's going to be day-to-day, but the results of the x-rays that they had were positive. So we'll see what happens there. I hope he does play because you always want to, you know, see the best players on the field. It makes for entertainment, you know. Even though we're reporting and analyzing the game, I mean, you want to have good football play, and the one way to do that is to have the better players on the field. So when you look at Robert Alford, He's another one. Now, he's a small school kid. I remember him coming out of southeastern Louisiana. They actually got Alford and Desmond Trufant in the same draft. Alford was a later pick, I think a fourth-round pick. But anyhow, he's only 5'10", 186, but he's feisty. He can move inside, play that slot position, you know, and cover the slot receivers. He's someone that has a lot of athletic ability. I like his ball skills as far as being able to jump and track the football and break passes up at the high point, so to speak. So that's going to be another matchup to watch out for. But that kind of leads me into something that we talked about yesterday, and that was DGB, Durrell Green Beckham, and whether or not he's going to actually stand up and you know, bring it the way that he is definitely capable of bringing it. I had a conversation with him yesterday, and you know, I just asked him about the matchups, you know, and when you have a corner that's smaller and it's just you and him with no safety help, wide side of the field, you know, a lot of ground to work with. I told him straight up, you got to go back and demand the football, man. And he said that he's done that. The pushback that he's getting is that it's not something that they're working on in practice. So we'll have to see how that continues to develop. I know that Carson Wentz has trust in his receivers, including Durrell Green Beckham. So I say all that to say you could see some matchup advantages for the Eagles if they are able to isolate Green Beckham and Robert Alford. That's definitely a favorable matchup for the Eagles. Just have to go to it. That slant route is there consistently. Then when you look at Brian Poole, I remember this is another East-West Shrine game. And this is why I love going to these games, folks, and these weeks of practice, because you could see these guys firsthand, and you could always refer back to it when you're, you know, doing the games during the season. And Brian Poole was someone that stood out to me tremendously. I remember he wore number 24. They used him some at safety. They used him in the nickel. They used him at outside. And he was rarely beaten. I watched him in one-on-ones. You know, he has the cover skills to come down and bring the physicality. I talked to Jordan Matthews about him also, and he remembered going against him, at Florida. Obviously, Matthews went to Vanderbilt. So, you know, just another one of a long line of Florida DBs, man, whether it's Jalen Watkins, you got Luchez Purifoy, Marcus Roberson, obviously, you know, Vernon Hargreaves. There are continuing to be guys coming out of Florida at the defensive back position. And Brian Poole is another one of them. He's a good, solid player for them. And they also bring in Jalen Collins, who actually if Trufant isn't able to go, there's a good chance that Collins will see more time at the nickel spot, because it'll be likely that Alford and Brian Poole will start. Those were the starters last week, but they were going against a team that ran a lot of three receiver sets. So you saw Jalen Collins as well. Collins is out of LSU, fellow LSU DB, along with Jalen Mills, of course. But when you look at Collins, you know, he's a long corner. He's 6'1", 203. He's kind of taking his time to come around. You know, he's a guy that was a first round pick and should be starting at this point. You know, when you're a first round pick 2 years into your career, you should be a starter, but he's not. And they'll just have to figure out a way to get him going. Just moving on real quick, I want to talk about the safeties. Ricardo Allen, that's, you know, their free safety. He's their kind of overtop guy. He's a smaller safety also out of Purdue. 5'9", 186. I always find it interesting when you have these shorter, stocky safeties like this, but, you know, he does play the position really well. The guy I really want to talk about is just Keanu Neal. And when you talk about a wig splitter, that's what he is, man. They brought him aboard to be the camp chancellor in this defense, because Dan Quinn, you know, he had the same type of scheme out there in Seattle with those guys. And obviously, you know, it's different when you have, you know, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, et cetera, in the secondary. But Keanu Neal is one of those guys that can be a difference maker. And this is someone that you're going to see come down in the box and lay big hits, you know, against the running game. He's very physical, you know, picking up the crossers. They will at times, you know, try to run that teaser route so they could go over top of him. So that's something you may see, a combo route, you know, to get the ball to Bryce Treggs down the field. So definitely watch out for that. So that's pretty much the Falcons defense. I wanted to do like we do every week, you know, look at each unit. Tomorrow we'll look at the offense, you know, for this Eagles opponent. The Atlanta Falcons are coming in. They're you know, one of the best teams. They're 5-3, I believe it is, sitting atop the NFC South. So this is a home game. Be sure to come out and support your team. Also, subscribe to this podcast on the Locked On Eagles podcast, which is on iTunes and Audio Boom. Follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. This is what we do, folks. Every day, Monday through Friday, you get in-depth analysis, reporting about your Philadelphia Eagles. Be sure to log on to theeagleswire.usatoday.com, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks a lot, folks. Talk to you later.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst. Catalyst.